Welcome to another session on spiritual warfare. We're basing our remarks on this exciting subject from Ephesians chapter 6. We've set a foundation based on Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20.
Kurang tu sengagaduhan pondasi di Efesus genap ayat 10-20.
Everybody's involved in warfare.
Sebanjal mau ngiring peperangan.
Warfare is not just casting out demons, it's not just the occult.
Kan sekadar ngusir setan atau kawasa poek.
But spiritual warfare is your whole life.
Tapi halangan harungan dina kehidupan urang.
It includes casting out demons. It includes dealing with witchcraft and the occult. But those are not the biggest problems for most Christians. It's living day by day. So we said in our last session that all prayer is to be done in the Spirit. Spiritual warfare is warfare in the spirit realm.
Peperangan rohani kejadianana di alam roh.
All through the book of Ephesians, Paul makes the emphasis that we are people of the Spirit.
Dina kitab Efesus Paulus nandeskeun urang teh manusia roh.
And I want you to notice again that he says in verse 18 of chapter 6, all prayer must be done in the Spirit.
Pada ditutup dina pasal genep ayat 18, sakabeh doa kudu dina roh.
All of the pieces of armor that are talked about in the and the weapons that are talked about in the earlier verses.
Sakabeh senjata jeung perlengkapan.
These are all functions by the power of the Spirit.
Jadi kekuatan mun dinaro.
Now, why is this? Because the enemy that we are facing is a spirit world enemy.
Tentoran musuhna aya di alam roh.
The kingdom we are bringing is a spirit kingdom.
Kerajaan nu didatangkeun ogi kerajaan roh.
So we're to pray, speak, and live in the Spirit.
Perlu ngadoa, nyarita, jeung hirup dina roh.
Now, how do you pray in the Spirit?
Kumaha ngadoa dina roh teh?
Number one, you need to remove things that would hinder the Spirit's flow through your life.
Awitan kudu miceun kabeh anu ngahalangan ngocorna roh Gusti dina kahirupan urang.
Maybe you feel you were filled with the Spirit at some time in your life?
Tok ngarasa pinuh ku roh.
And you say, I'm spirit-filled. That means you yielded yourself to the Spirit at one time. But what about today? What about each time you come to prayer? We can quench the Spirit. We can grieve the Spirit. So every time I come to prayer, it's like checking the dashboard of my car.
Pinyoba dashboard mobil.
It's like looking at my clothes in the mirror before I leave the room.
Pertingaca samemeh ini.
Is there anything that I need to deal with?
Anu perlu direngsekeun.
If I'm going to pray in the Spirit, I need to remove hindrances that might be there.
Mun ngadoa dina roh, singkirkeun panghalangna.
No, I don't think we have to search deep within our hearts. I think we just have to look at what's there.
Tidak perlu ngilikan dina hate, tapi ilikan naon nu aya di jerona.
Secondly, praying in the Spirit means to yield yourself to the Spirit.
Kadua ngadoa dina roh artina sumerah ka roh.
The Holy Spirit must be allowed to flow.
Roh suci sinang adama.
I want you to think about this.
Pikiran baik.
God only does things on this planet by His Spirit.
Gusti barang dama kumaha rencanana dina roh.
And that spirit only works through yielded human vessels.
Ngadamel na nganggo jalmi nu sumerah.
So how do I pray in the spirit?
Jadi kumaha doa dina roh teh?
I yield myself.
Abdi sumerah diri.
What does it mean to yield yourself?
Naon artina sumerah diri?
It means to allow.
Ngidinan.
It means to give yourself to.
Masihkeun diri.
It means to seek after.
Bener-bener neangan.
It means to focus on.
Musyat kala.
It means to come under the anointing.
Lebet kaurapan.
These are all pictures.
Yang ngagambarkeun.
Let me give you some other pictures of things that we do all of the time. All through the Bible, there are pictures of yieldedness. When somebody says in a meeting, let's all stand. What are we doing? We're yielding ourselves. Let's kneel down and pray. That's a way of yielding ourselves. Let's lift our hands to God. Let's just close our eyes and put all of our cares out of our hearts. Just think about Jesus. These are all examples of yieldedness. Why do you close your eyes when you pray? It's not required. It's just a way that we allow and give ourselves to the Spirit. Sometimes in meetings we come forward. Doesn't mean God can't do something at the back. But coming forward is an act of yieldedness. It says Jesus healed all who came to Him. Didn't say He healed everybody in town. Why did they come to Him? It was an act of yieldedness. You say, well, I'll just worship God at home. I don't need to go to church. But when you go to your church, it's an act of yieldedness. And God will say something and do something there. He will not do in any other context. When they marched around the walls of
Jericho,
they were yielding to the Spirit of God. When Moses held his hands up above the battle in Exodus chapter 17,
waktu ngacung dina pertempuran budalan 17,
what is this? A man holding his hands up over a battle.
Ngacung dina pertempuran.
Why should this have any effect?
Naon efekna?
God is almighty.
Gusti Maha Kuasa.
Joshua is fighting against Amalek.
Yosua ngalawan Amalek.
And yet the man needed to have his hands up on the mountain.
Musa oge ngacung di gunung.
Another picture of yieldedness.
Oge gambaran semerah diri.
And all through the scripture we see this. It's allowing the Spirit. Giving ourselves over to the Spirit. When we come into a meeting, we begin to worship together. Why does the presence of God come? Because we're allowing, we're yielding ourselves. So if I'm going to pray in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, I need to yield myself to the Spirit. Give myself over to Him. Thirdly, if I'm going to pray in the Spirit, I must be led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job is to speak.
Tugasna roh suci teh nyarios.
Jesus said, He will guide you, He will teach you, He will convince you.
Anjeuna ngajar, nuyun sarta nguatkeun.
So praying in the Spirit is letting the Holy Spirit lead me in my praying.
Jadi ngadoa dina roh mere idin ka roh suci nuyun abdi.
I listen to people pray, and some use religious sounds and words that they've heard someone else use.
Sok aya nu ngadoa kecapna nurutanu sajen.
Neither God nor the devil is impressed with words or sounds.
Gusti jeung setan oge teu resepeun nu kitu.
What impresses God and what impresses the devil is being led by the Spirit.
Ngajadikeun kesan mah mun urang dituyun ku roh.
Some people rebuke the devil in a real gruff voice.
Aya nu ngusir setan ku ngagorowok.
Some people pray with a real tear in their voice.
Aya oge nu ngadoa ku sora nu sedih.
These are just emotion and not the Spirit.
Eta kabeh oge ngan emosi lain roh.
Sometimes when the Holy Spirit leads us, that we have that effect.
Tapi lamun roh nuyun secara efektif.
The Holy Spirit wants to show you what to pray about.
Roh suci hayang ngajelaskeun naon intina doa.
Romans chapter 8 says we don't know what to pray about.
Roma 8, urang teu terang kedah ngadoa.
But the Holy Spirit helps our inabilities.
Roh nulungan dina kalemahan.
And He intercedes through us according to the will of God.
Bersyafaat kanggo urang sapagodo sareng kayong Gusti.
So the Holy Spirit wants to lead us.
Roh suci nuyun urang.
Now again, the whole scripture is an illustration of this.
Dina kitab suci mah pinuh hal ieu.
I want to be a biblical person.
Abi hoyong jadi jalmi alkitabiah.
It has to be according to the word of God.
Kudu sapagodos jeung pangandikana.
So I get into the Bible.
Baca bae kitab suci.
To find the biblical method of spiritual warfare.
Kumacara peperangan dina kitab suci.
And God tells the people, march around the walls of Jericho.
Yohanana, kurilingan tembok Jericho.
And I say, ha, that is the biblical method.
Oh, eta cara kitab suci.
Then a few chapters later, I see that God told Gideon, leave them all home except 300.
Di bagian sajen Gusti ngandika ka Gideon, tinggalkeun anu sajen kajaba anu 300.
Maybe that's the biblical method.
Ieu oge panginten cara kitab suci.
Then I turn a few more pages.
Terus muka kaca anu sajena.
And I find that Jonathan and his armor bearer went out against the whole army.
Yonatan jeung anu mawa pakarangna ngalawan sakabeh pasukan musuh.
Now I'm saying, what's the biblical method?
Abi bingung, kumaha cara kitab suci?
Maybe it's that you have to have a partner.
Kuduna mah urang batur.
Then I read a few chapters later that David went out by himself.
Tapi di bagian sajen Daud perangna sorangan.
And he was a teenager. He wasn't a part of the ordained army.
Ora kene jeung lain tentara profesional.
Jehoshaphat led the choir out in front of the army.
Jehoshaphat mah sakelompok yang hareupan musuh teh.
And most of the ways that they fought in the Old Testament, they only did it one time.
Lolobana mah cara perang teh di perjanjian lawas ngan sakali.
What are we supposed to learn from this sermon? What sermon is God speaking to us through in the Old Testament?
Anu ditepikeun ku Gusti teh tina perjanjian lawas.
He's saying, listen to me.
Bandungan.
I will change it every time.
Bakar robah setiap waktu.
Praying in the Spirit is being led by the Spirit.
Doa di lebet roh bakal dipimpin ku roh.
Now he leads us to subjects.
Anjeunna mimpin urang.
He leads us to details of subjects that we already know.
Mimpin urang keur nyaos sagala hal sacara rinci.
God puts a burden on my heart for this country or this person.
Gusti neundeun beban keur bangsa ieu atawa jang sasaurang.
I feel to pray for that.
Abdi kadang ngadoa ngak.
He's leading me to a subject.
Anjeunna mimpin abdi mendakan hiji subjek. Abdi waktu.
But other times I know the subject.
Tu terang subjekna.
You come to me and say, pray for me, I don't feel well.
Contohna saderek dongkap nyuhunkeun didoakeun.
I don't have to be led, I pray for you as a service and as an act of love.
Abdi teu kedah ngaraos dipimpin tapi bakal ngadoa salaku pelayanan jeung kanyaha.
But I began to pray, Lord, touch this person, they don't feel well.
Dikawitan Gusti auban jalma ieu ngarasa nyeri.
Be with them, bless them.
Sarengan sareng berkahan.
Now I'm out of information.
Ayeuna abdi saya pun informasi.
But I keep on praying.
Tapi tetap ngadoa.
And I feel to pray for this.
Harus perlu ngadoakeun ieu.
And I hear myself praying for that.
Adangu diri abdi ngadoakeun eta.
Where does all this information come from?
Di mana datangna informasi eta?
The Holy Spirit is leading me in prayer.
Roh Suci nu mimpin abdi di lebet doa.
If you think about it, this has happened to you.
Upama urang ngarti hal ieu geus kajadian.
How many people in this audience?
Sabaraha urang jamaat di dieu?
You have begun to pray with the information you have.
Parantos ngadoa sesuai sareng informasi.
And then you go beyond that information and pray for things you didn't know about.
Ngadoakeun langkung tina informasi jeung ngadoa anu teu acan ngartos.
That is being led by the Spirit in prayer.
Eta ngadoa dina roh.
You say, well, that's too simple.
Aya anu nyarita eta mah sederhana pisan.
That's praying in the Spirit.
Eta doa dina roh.
And number four.
Nomor opat.
Praying in the Spirit is to allow the Holy Spirit to energize or empower your spirit, your prayer.
Ngadoa dina roh nguatkeun mere kawasa ka roh urang.
The biblical pictures of prayer is a wind and flows of water.
Kitab suci ngagambarkeun doa saperti angin dina cai anu ngocor.
This is a empowering that comes forth from us.
Mere kawasa anu ngocor ngaliwatan urang.
And that's why we should worship by the Spirit.
Eta sababna urang perlu nyembah dina roh.
We should speak by the Spirit.
Nyarita dina roh.
We should pray with the force of the Spirit.
Perlu doa dina kawasa roh.
Why is this so important?
Nah, ieu penting.
Not because God needs enthusiastic Christians.
Lain Gusti nu ngabutuhkeun urang Kristen anu sumanget.
Not just so we can be loud and fast in our praying and our worship.
Lain lantaran urang ngagorowok dina ngadoa jeung penyembahan.
Let me tell you why.
Ieu alasanana.
Because out there in society,
lantaran lingkungan,
there's a hurricane blowing.
Aya topan.
A typhoon blowing.
Topan ngagelebung.
It is a great wind of deception.
Ombak panipuan.
A great wind of lust.
Topan nafsu.
A great wind of destruction and hate.
Ngagelebung pinuh kageuleuh jeung ka.
It is a spirit force of evil that is against everything that God wants.
Eta roh jahat nu ngalawan Gusti.
And you cannot combat a hurricane by just agreeing with correct theology.
Urang teu bisa ngalawan badai dengan satuju karena teologi anu bener.
It is important that we believe the truth.
Penting pisan percaya bebeneran teh.
It is important that we have right doctrine.
Pikeun doktrin anu bener.
But we must go one step beyond that.
Perlu maju.
And pray through the power of the Spirit.
Ngadoa dina kawasa roh.
That is the only way we'll drive back the spirit enemy.
Dan cara kieu keur ngalehkeun musuh teh.
And that is the only way we will release the spirit kingdom.
Dan cara eta urang bisa leupas ti roh karajaan.
Now many of us use this phrase, praying in the Spirit, to denote speaking in tongues.
Bebandung hartikeun ngadoa dina roh sabagai bahasa roh.
And I believe that's a biblical understanding.
Percaya eta sapagodos kitab suci.
1 Corinthians chapter 14.
1 Korintus 14.
Says pray with your spirit.
Nyarita ngadoa dina roh.
Pray with your understanding.
Ngadoa pengertianana.
And it is speaking about the practice of speaking in tongues.
Nyarita latihan bahasa roh.
So praying in the Spirit includes speaking in tongues.
Bahasa roh ka asup ngadoa dina roh.
But it's broader than that.
Ngadoa dina roh leuwih lega deui.
It's also praying in a language that you know.
Artina ngadoa ku bahasa nu bisa ngarti.
Led of the Spirit and empowered by the Spirit.
Tuyun ku kawasa roh.
But God has given us this wonderful language of the Spirit that goes beyond what we process through our mind.
Emang Gusti tos masihan bahasa roh anu leuwih tina naon nu kurang bisa ngarti.
So let's be balanced.
Hayu saimbang.
Let's Let's understand the fullness of what praying in the Spirit can be.
Apa yang arti sagemblengna anu didoakeun dina roh?
It says every prayer, every time of worship has to be led by the Spirit.
Saban doa, penyembahan kudu dituyun ku roh.
Let's not just say religious words, let's move things in the spirit world.
Ulah sakadar agamawi tapi maju dituyun ku roh.
And every one of us are capable of this.
Carara sanggup ngalakukeunana.
Now I want us to turn to Matthew's Gospel chapter 16.
Baca Matius pasal 16.
As we think about the subject of spiritual warfare,
waktu orang mikir subjek peperangan rohani,
I believe Jesus gave us a statement that sums up what is happening.
Percaya Yesus masihan pernyataan naon anu kajadian.
And because there's so much material in this teaching,
kuseurna materi pelajaran ieu,
it's important for us to have a skeleton on which we can hang all of the understanding.
Penting pisan gaduh karangka keur nanggeuy sakabehna.
In Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19.
Matius 16, ayat 18, nepi ka 18.
We have maybe the most historical announcement that was ever made.
Ieu wawaran sajarah nu hebat nu kungsi ngawujud.
This was a major turning point in history.
Hiji titik balik anu gede dina sajarah.
Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not be able to prevail against it."
Yesus nyarios dina batu karang, kami erek ngadegen jamaah sarta ajal oge moal datang.
"I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven."
Kunci kerajaan surga rek dibikin kamane, naun nu dibengket di dunia, kitu deui di surga, naun dilepaskan di dunia, kitu oge di surga.
Some people think this is the first time the word church had ever been used.
Cek pikiran anak, ieu nu mimiti kecap gereja ditulis.
People had always done business with God by coming to a tabernacle and temple with a sacrifice.
Kalawasna datang ka Gusti, ku datangna ka Bait Allah nyanggakeun kurban.
And now Jesus is announcing a new structure on earth.
Ayeuna Yesus ngumumkeun cara anyar di dunya.
He called this the church.
Mantenna nyebutna gereja.
He said, "I'm going to die on a cross."
Mantenna nyarios kami rek maot dina kayu palang.
"I'm going to rise from the dead."
Bakal hudang tina maot.
"I'm going to come and live inside of people."
Rek hirup ngancik di jalma-jalma.
This was a new concept.
Ieu konsep anyar.
No one had ever had a God live inside of them before.
Samemehna, can aya Gusti ngancik di maranehna.
And he said, "This group of people is going to be called church."
Kaurna, kelompok ieu teh gereja.
So the focus is upon the church.
Jadi musatna jero gereja.
What is God doing in the world?
Naon ku Gusti dilakukeun di dunya?
He's building his church.
Ngabangun gereja.
That should be our focus.
Ieu kuduna jadi fokus urang.
Then he said this church will have a particular place of focus.
Saurna, garejana mibanda tempat tujuan.
It's called the gates of hell.
Pintu gerbang neraka.
Now this is the picture language that was used in the Jewish culture.
Ieu gambaran dina budaya Yahudi.
And it talks about the spirit world.
Ieu nyatakeun alam roh.
The gates of hell is the spirit realm.
Kantong gerbang neraka aya di alam roh.
He said, "I will give this new group the keys to the kingdom."
Kami baris mikeun kunci kerajaan ka kelompok anyar.
Keys speak of authority.
Kunci nyaritakeun otoritas.
And we will talk about authority in a later session.
Urang bakal neraskeun perkara otoritas dina sesi nu bade.
But I'm interested in this analogy that Jesus used called gates.
Tapi na katarik ku analoginya eta panto gerbang.
Many times in the scripture, the analogy of doors or gates is used.
Coba analogi sapertos panto. Panto gerbang digunakan.
Jesus said, I am the door.
Yesus, kami panto teh.
In the book of Revelation, he said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock.
Kita bayu kami nangtung diharapun panto sarta kaketrok.
In the Old Testament, in Psalm 24.
Perjanjian lawas, Jabur 24.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates.
Gapura lawang kahoteh.
God said to Abraham in Genesis
22,
your seed will possess the gates of their enemies.
Keturunan mane baris nyingsingan kota-kota musuh.
We Christians are the seed of Abraham.
Urang teh turunan Ibrahim.
So here's part of our inheritance.
Ieu warisan urang.
We're going to possess the gates of our enemies.
Rang baris nyitingan kota panto gerbang musuh.
That sounds very similar to what Jesus talked about when he said the gates of hell.
Cerua pisan jeung nuku Yesus dicarioskeun panto gerbang neraka.
He's repeating the promise made to Abraham in Genesis 22.
Ngantena malikan deui cariosanana ka Ibrahim dina Kejadian 22.
Now what is a gate?
Nah, eta panto gerbang.
It's the place where come people come in and they come out.
Eta mah paranti jalma kaluar asup.
That's obvious to all of us.
Jelas pisan keur urang.
That's why Jesus chose this picture.
Eta sababna Yesus milih gambaran ieu.
He wanted to show us what was happening in warfare.
Mantena hayang nuduhkeun kajadian naon dina paperangan.
As I do spiritual warfare seminars around the world,
waktu ngayakeun seminar paperangan rohani di sakuliah dunya,
the most questions I get are on access. How does the devil get access?
Nunanya teh loloba nangeunaan jalan asupna setan.
Well, if Jesus defeated the devil 2,000 years ago, how can he be doing same anything?
2,000 tahun geus dielehkeun ku Yesus, nah ayeuna sok ngaganggu keneh.
Could this be the devil? Can that person have a demon?
Bener ieu teh ku setan. Nah bisa keneh nyarumah ka manusia.
If I'm a Christian and I'm washed in the blood of Jesus, can the enemy attack me?
Mun abdi Kristen geus disucikeun ku getih Yesus, bisa diganggu keneh?
So there's much discussion about this.
Keteranganana panjang.
And I can sum all of the discussion up with this one word.
Upama disimpulkeun kieu.
Access.
Jalan asup.
How does the devil get access?
Di mana meunangna bisa asup?
Didn't Jesus defeat the devil 2,000 years ago?
Pan geus dielehkeun bare 2,000 tahun. Bener pisan.
It's true. We celebrated in our meetings.
Rayakeunana urang ngariung.
Thank you, Lord, we have the victory over every demonic power.
Nuhun Gusti abdi gaduh kawasa keur ngelehkeun kawasa poe.
Every time I teach on spiritual warfare, people in the audience want me to emphasize, make sure you tell them we have the victory.
Tapi dina waktu ngajarkeun deui nandeskeun yen urang teh geus unggul.
And as we celebrate that, out in the streets, there's the enemy is doing all kinds of things.
Dina waktu ngarayakeunana setan barang gawe di luar.
So here's the question.
Ieu nanyana teh.
How does this defeated devil get access?
Kumasakan bisa asup pan geus eleh.
That's why Jesus used the analogy of door or gate.
Eta sababna Yesus make analogi panto.
Now the other thing that is known about gates.
Nungunan panto gerbang.
In the cultures of both the Old and New Testament times.
Dina budaya perjanjian lama sareng perjanjian baru.
Gates were the part of the city where decisions were made.
Panto gerbang eta bagian kota nu mutuskeun nu penting.
It says many times the elders sat in the gates.
Ramana dicaritakeun para sesepuh caralik di panto gerbang.
Gates were like city hall.
Panto gerbang teh sapertos pendopo.
So in the minds of the people Jesus was talking to, they understand a gate to be an access point. And they understand a gate to be a place where decisions are made. This gives us an understanding of where we're pointing when we do spiritual warfare.
Artinya orang kudu peperangan rohani.
Where should we be focusing?
Kamana orang kudu mokuskan?
We should be focusing on the gates.
Kapan to gerbang?
What is a gate?
Naon atuh?
It's the way the enemy gets in.
Tempatna musuh asup.
What is a gate?
Naon atuh?
It's decision making.
Tempat mutuskan.
So how much is the enemy doing in your city?
Kumaha bebasna musuh di kota urang?
How much is the enemy able to do in your family?
Di keluarga urang?
How much is the devil doing in the world?
Kumaha iblis bebasna di dunia ieu?
I think I know.
Ayeuna mah terang.
He's doing this much.
Ngalakukeun naon?
He's doing exactly the amount that people allow him to do by their decisions.
Kumaha keputusan anu mere jalana?
And that's the most important thing we can understand about spiritual warfare.
Ieu nu penting tina hal peperangan rohani.
Do not be worried about the devil's power.
Ulakeun ku kawasa iblis.
We're the ones who give him power.
Urang nu ngidinkeunana.
People in the occult and in witchcraft have to yield themselves to evil spirits.
Aya dina kawasa poek jeung dukun sumerah dirina ka roh setan.
People who do voodoo have to summon the spirits.
Ngalakukeun pudu kudu nyambat roh.
They understand the spirit world.
Maranehna ngarti alam roh.
They understand they have to yield themselves.
Ngartieun yen kudu sumerah diri.
They know what the doorway is.
Ngarahun cara asupna.
Now, that's where we do our warfare.
Didinya tempat peperangan rohani teh.
We focus on people.
Musyapna kajalma.
Because they are the decision makers.
Sabab nunyeun putusanana.
They are the gates.
Maranehanana pantok gerbangna.
Now there's two things you do with a gate.
Aya dua hal anu dilakukeun ku pantok gerbang.
You open gates and you shut gates.
Tidak muka atawa meuneut.
So there are two kinds of warfare that we should all be involved in.
Aya dua peperangan anu dilakukeun.
Shutting gates is defensive warfare.
Mendetkan sing page.
Defensive warfare is for you and me as individuals.
Mendetkan nana sewang-sewangan.
Yeah. We're in Christ.
Urang gejero Kristus.
We have the victory.
Urang boga kaunggulan.
We are seated far above all power.
Urang aya di saluhureun segala kawasa.
But the enemy still attacks us.
Tapi musuh tetap nyerang.
He still makes attempts on our lives.
Terus ngaganggu kehidupan orang.
That's why the Bible says we wrestle.
Nucek kitab suci terus bajuang.
That's why verse 13 in Ephesians 6 says, having done everything, stand firm.
In ayat 13 Efesus genep, sing teguh di mana geus rengse.
These people knew they had the victory.
Manehna nyaho kudu unggul.
These people knew Jesus had defeated the devil.
Nyaho Yesus tos ngalehkeunana.
But he still tells them they have to do something.
Tapi mere nyaho supaya ngalakukeun hiji hal.
He says you have to stand firm.
Ngane kudu sing ajeg.
Have you ever been to a football game?
Bisa derek nonton main bal?
Where they're trying to kick the ball into the goal?
Maranehna usaha najong nepi ka gol.
Let me tell you something about that game.
Ieu cara pertandingan teh.
When the game begins, there's two zeros on the scoreboard.
Mimiti derma, kabeh kosong-kosong.
We start the game with a zero against us.
Urang ge mimitina nol.
That's like you and I, we've been to the cross, and everything has been taken away. Our sin has been taken away.
Waktu datang ka kai palang, anu heubeul geus disanda.
The devil has been defeated in my life. I have the victory.
Setan geus ele dina kahirupan, urang meunang.
There's a zero on the scoreboard.
Kehidupan orang nol deui.
But we do an interesting thing when we play football.
Dina main bal, urang geus ngalakukeun wae.
We send a goalkeeper down to stand in front of the opposite goal.
Dul aya nu ngajagana.
Why are we doing that?
Naha dilakukeun?
Because we want to end the game with the same zero we started with.
Lantaran ulah eleh.
This is called defense.
Ieu teh bertahan.
This is called standing firm.
Nangtung hing ajeg.
What is the goalie's job?
Naon tugasna kiper?
He defends every attempt of the enemy to score.
Nahan sagala serangan musuh.
People say, "Oh, we don't have to fight the devil."
Aya nu nyarita musuh teu perlu dilawan.
Jesus already did that at the cross.
Kan ku Yesus di nu kai palang.
That's true.
Ta bener.
Jesus did do it at the cross. But now the enemy's making attempts.
Tapi musuh tetap nyerang.
Because he wants me to let him in.
Bayangi dina asup.
I'm the gate.
Urang teh pantau gerbang.
The enemy functions on this planet through people.
Musuh biasana teh ngaliwatan jalma.
So he's constantly knocking on the door.
Keketrok terus.
And I have to stand firm and do defensive warfare.
Cing ajeg. Dina peperangan ieu.
Now the other thing we do with the gate is to open it.
Pantau gerbang teh urang anu mukana.
Opening gates is offensive warfare.
Mukakeun artina penyerangan.
Some people don't believe in offensive warfare.
Aya nu teu percaya penyerangan.
They say, "Well, if I can just keep the devil away from me and I can live in victory, that's all I can hope for."
Geus bisa ngusir setan kahirupan unggul eta geus cukup.
And if we go out after the devil aggressively, well, then all kinds of bad things may happen to us.
Urang nyerang setan secara agresif bakal kagadian anu goreng keur urang.
But you see, Jesus said, "Go into all the world."
Tapi Yesus ngandika, "Init ka sakalih dunya."
That is an offensive action.
Ieu teh penyerangan.
That is the last instructions our Savior gave us before he left the planet.
Ieu teh amanatna samemeh munggah ka surga.
So the Great Commission is our command to go out against the gates.
Amanat agung supaya urang kaluar ti pantau gerbang.
And we must do warfare so that we can get the gospel preached.
Urang kudu peperangan supaya bisa ngawartakeun Injil.
Is this biblical?
Ieu teh Alkitabiah.
Paul said to the Thessalonians.
Paulus nyarita ka Timotius.
Pray for me that I might have an open door to preach.
Doakeun supaya pantona muka keur ngawartakeun Injil.
Paul said to the Romans.
Paulus nyarita ka urang Roma.
I've been planning to come to you.
Rencanana mah rek ka dieu.
But I've been hindered thus far by the devil.
Tapi geus dihalangan ku setan.
So here we have the open door analogy and we have the devil being the hindrance.
Ieu analogi panto nu dihalangan ku setan.
You see, the world has opened the door to the enemy by their sinning.
Panto dunia geus muka ku musuh ku dosana.
So now the enemy's on the inside.
Ayeuna musuh aya di jero.
He's been let in by the people.
Geus diidinan asup ka jalma.
And now he has shut the door to the gospel.
Mendetkeun keur Injil.
He has shut the door to the truth.
Mendetkeun bebeneran.
So our job as spiritual warriors is to kick the door open.
Tugas urang salaku tentara rohani keur ngadobrakna.
That's offensive warfare.
Ieu teh penyerangan.
So every Christian should be involved in these two kinds of warfare.
Jadi orang Kristen perlu milu dua peperangan.
For ourselves, defensive warfare.
Bertahan jeung nyerang.
For the world and the society around us, offensive warfare.
Keur dunya jeung lingkungan.
And if we don't do this,
mun teu dilakukeun,
it will not be done by any other means.
Moal aya deui anu ngalakukeunana.
This is our command.
Ieu teh parentah.
To stand firm.
Nangtung sing ajeg.
And to go into all the world.
Irit ka sakulia dunya.
First, through prayer and warfare.
Mimiti nga doa jeung peperangan.
Now, what are the gates that we can focus on in defensive warfare?
Ayeuna gerbang anu mana nu kudu diperhatikeun jeung di dina pertahanan?
There's four.
Aya opat.
Four gates for us to keep closed.
Kudu dipendetan.
That shouldn't be too hard for us.
Saya nyiptakeunana.
Have you ever seen somebody with a four-door car?
Terang aya mobil nu pantona opat.
Is it possible for them to lock all four doors every time?
Moal bisa ngunci sekaligus.
I believe it is.
Mungkin bisa.
And so it's possible for us to keep these doors closed to the enemy.
Terang kudu ngunci sakabe panto ti musuh.
How does the enemy attempt to mess with the Christian?
Kumaha musuh carana nyerang orang Kristen?
How is it possible for me as the Christian to give the enemy access?
Kumaha pi bisa eunana mere jalan ka musuh?
There's four places.
Aya opat jalan.
Number one is the mind.
Nu kahiji pikiran.
Probably the biggest battleground in spiritual warfare is the mind.
Tempat perang nu lega teh dina pikiran.
For those who worry about who has a demon, who doesn't have a demon, they're missing the biggest part of spiritual warfare.
Maranehanana, nu fokusna di dieu aya setan di ditu mah eueuh maranehna kaleungitan bagian peperangan rohani.
Why should the devil give you a demon when he can control you through your mind?
Nah, setan make nyerang langsung pikiran urang.
Well, I'm not possessed with a demon, therefore I'm okay.
Abdi teu kasurupan setan.
No, that's a very narrow view of spiritual warfare.
Eta pikiran heureut pisan.
Spiritual warfare is how you think.
Peperangan rohani teh kumaha urang mikir.
The devil loves to put thoughts in our minds.
Setan resepeun mangaruhan pikiran urang.
Now, unfortunately, in Christian circles, we only think of one kind of thought when we say that.
Di lingkungan Kristen oge, ngan mikiran nu rek diomongkeun.
Let me illustrate this.
Ieu ilustrasina.
Suppose I were to say to the people in this audience.
Ama abdi nyarita ka jamaah ayeuna.
Would you people pray for me, please? I'm having a real struggle in my thought life.
Darek doakeun abdi gaduh masalah pikiran.
Immediately you say, "Oh yeah, we know what your problem is."
Gancang pisan bakal ngajawab abdi tos terang masalahna.
But you see, lust thoughts are only one problem with the mind.
Tapi nafsu mah hiji masalah ti pikiran.
What about thoughts of pride and arrogance?
Kumaha upama sombong jeung teu taat?
That may be the most common wrong way of thinking for Christian.
Ieu cara mikir anu salah ti urang Kristen. Seler bangsa abdi.
My race is superior to your race.
Leuwih hade tilu sajen.
I pray more than you.
Ngadoa abdi leuwih tilu sajen.
Our church is the move of God in this city.
Gereja abdi digerakkeun Gusti keur kota.
Men are superior to women.
Lalaki leuwih jangkung ti awewe.
All kinds of arrogant, proud thoughts.
Ieu pikiran sombong.
The enemy is basically proud in his nature.
Sombong sifat alami musuh.
And God resists the proud.
Gusti teu resepeun kana sombong.
What about thoughts of unbelief?
Kumaha nu teu percayaan?
Hopelessness.
Pondok pangarepan.
Depression.
Depresi.
What about thoughts of fear?
Umanu borangan.
Most of our fears have no reality to them.
Lobana mah teu cocok jeung kaayaan.
We think we're going to die.
Pikiran urang bakal maut.
We think everybody hates us.
Pikiran batur ngewaeun.
We think all kinds of bad things are going to happen.
Pikiran bakal aya kajadian goreng.
It's not real.
Kitu nyatana.
It's a problem with the mind.
Eta mah jero pikiran.
But what's the biggest problems with the mind?
Masalah nu gede dina pikiran?
Inferiority and condemnation.
Eraan jeung suudon.
Almost every Christian fights these two things.
Kabe urang Kristen.
I want to make you angry at the devil.
Abdi dipancing keuheul saderek ka setan.
We all know the devil is defeated.
Urang terang setan geus dielehkeun.
We celebrate that fact.
Urang ngarayakeunana.
And yet I'm mentioning to you something that happens to almost every Christian mind.
Tapi kakaraku abdi diomongkeun nu kajadian dina diri urang Kristen.
Thoughts of inferiority.
Pikiran eraan teh.
What is that thought?
Naon pikiran teh?
I am not what I should be.
Abdi henteu saperti nu dipikahayang.
I'm not tall enough.
Abdi jangkung.
I'm not short enough.
Abdi pendek.
I don't have the right wife. I don't have the right husband.
Abdi teu gaduh bojo nu pas.
I don't have the right house.
Gaduh rorompok nu pas.
I don't live in the right place.
Dengan cik di tempat nu pas.
Discontent and inferiority.
Teu sugema jeung eraan.
The enemy will flood your mind with these kind of thoughts.
Musuh baris nyerang hal nu bieu.
This is spiritual warfare.
Ieu peperangan rohani.
What about condemnation?
Kumaha nu suudon?
What's condemnation?
Naon eta?
It is the thought, I am not pleasing God.
Ieu pikiran nu teu nyenangkeun Gusti.
It's the thought, I don't live up to God's standards. Some Christians live every day of their life in condemnation.
Sebagian orang Kristen hirup dina suudon.
They never feel acceptable to God.
Teu ngarasa ditarima Gusti.
And it's a thought problem.
Eta teh pikiran.
Now, what does the Bible say about thoughts?
Kumaha ceuk kitab suci ngeunaan pikiran?
One of the most famous spiritual warfare scriptures.
Ayat keur peperangan rohani.
It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5.
2 Korintus 10 ayat 3 nepi ka 5.
2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5.
Dina 2 Korintus 10 ayat 3 nepi ka 5.
What does this say?
Naon nu dicaritakeun?
We're living in this world.
Urang aya di dunya.
But we do not fight with the world's weapons.
Tapi teu bajuang ku sanjata dunya.
Everyone say with me.
Kabeh jalma nyarita.
We do not fight with the world's weapons.
Perang-perang teu make sanjata dunya.
Say that to yourself.
Omongkeun ka diri pribadi.
We must not use the world's weapons.
Urang ulah ngagunakeun sanjata dunya.
Now what are the weapons they're talking about here?
Sanjata nu kumaha tuh?
It's weapons to deal with our thoughts.
Sanjata nu aya urusanana jeung pikiran.
It says our weapons are mighty.
Sanjata nu pinuh kawasa.
They can pull down great strongholds.
Ngaruntukeun benteng.
And these strongholds are ways of thinking.
Benteng teh cara mikir urang.
We cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God.
Naruntukeun siasat anu ngagorombol nu diwangun ku kasombongan manusia pikeun ngahalangan wanoh ka Allah.
That is something I must do.
Ieu kudu dilakukeun.
I take every thought captive.
Newak sakabeh pikiran.
It's like somebody standing outside of the club.
Seperti nu nangtung di luar klub.
And saying, you must show me some identification or I won't let you in.
Kudu aya cirina mun teu aya teu meunang asup.
I stop every thought and I say, thought, do you have a right to be in a Christian mind?
Ulah mikir jeung nyarita eueuh hak ngancik dina pikiran urang Kristen.
And if it doesn't agree with the word,
mun teu sapakodos jeung deubuhan Gusti,
the Bible,
eta kitab suci,
if it does not agree with truth and righteousness,
mun papalingpang jeung bebeneran sarta keadilan,
if it does not agree with God's opinion,
mun papalingpang jeung kahoyong Gusti,
then I must not entertain it in my mind.
Ulah dipikiran teuing.
I must cast it down.
Kudu diusir.
This is the biggest area of spiritual warfare.
Di daerah nu lega keur peperangan rohani.
Many people are nullified in their effectiveness through the way that they think.
Loba nu teu efektif dina peperangan rohani lantaran pikiranana.
Join with me in prayer about thoughts right now.
Urang ngadoakeun pikiran urang.
Let's do what this says.
Adoakeun nu dicaritakeun.
Lord, analyze our thoughts.
Gusti selidiki pikiran abdi.
In the name of Jesus, we cast down every thought that doesn't agree with the Word of God.
Abdi ngancurkeun saban pikiran anu teu sajalan sareng panganika Gusti.
We refuse every thought that does not agree with God's opinion of us.
Nolak sakabeh pikiran anu teu sapakodo sareng kayong Gusti.
We will make our minds agree with the truth.
Ayong pikiran abdi saluyu sareng babeneran.
Renew our minds.
Anyarkeun pikiran abdi.
Replace the lies with truth.
Gentos kebohongan ku babeneran.
We refuse the lies of the enemy and we silence them.
Nolak kebohongan musuh.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Di lebet nama Yesus nu kawasa.
Amen.
Amin.